on page Kuf Mem Ches. Here the Rebbe is outlining the membership, really the membership rules and guidelines for his plan to create chavrayas, chavas, chaburas of serious chassidim in different places, from different groups of chassidim. And he talks about some of the requirements and some the type of people and what to be careful with. And then he goes more into the pnimius of what could be expected and what should be done once we have these chaburas. So Kuf Mem Ches, after the Rebbe says that any person who's a Ben Torah or Ma'at or Habay, the requirement here is not that he'd be a Lamdan, that he'd be a Talmud Chacham. Rak ish she'eno hafach bach b'dayta. The Rebbe warns about accepting a person who b'teva is a hafachbach b'dayta. What does that mean? Shema shemachlit hayoyim. Hafachbach means that he's a person he's inconsistent. Somebody who's inconsistent. People who are the teva is shema shemachlit hayoyim, that he gets all excited and he makes a big decision today. And he's going to have this shiur, he's going to have this chavrus, he's going to be part of this, and he's going to do that. And Shema Shemachlet Hayoyim, this is one of the biggest machlis of our times, this midah of, I'm talking about by firm people, by B'nai Torah also, of inconsistencies. Shema Shemachlet Hayoyim, that a person makes a decision today, he's all excited, but and in his enthusiasm, or without really thinking about things, without thinking things out properly, then whatever he made with all of his enthusiasm, all of his excitement, he made his big decision today. Speak chosher, the thing he's going to do, this, he's going to do that, he's going to learn this, he's going to learn that, and he's come to this seder, and he's going to be part of this shiur, and all of these different things. Then you see the next day, it's like it never was. Not that it's like over the course of months or years that there are differences or changes, but it could be there, it could be a day or two later that he's not, that it's not, nothing, b'chlal, nothing. And he turns the whole plate upside down, meaning that the whole thing, the whole decision that he made was not a decision, and it didn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. And today could be a completely different excitement, could be a different mahalach, could be a different project that he's working on. In other words, the Rebbe, of course, is warning against people like this because they undermine the stability of any chabura that's serious, coming and going, and once in a while, and then yes, and then no, and so on. It's called hafachpach, constantly changing their minds, and so on. Rak mi she'eino shakran v'ramai shelkua b'shkarev. Be careful of a person who is a liar, and somebody who is a rami, somebody who is he's not honest with himself, he's not honest with others, he's deceptive, he's a rami, shakur bishkarav, immersed in his deceptions and his lies. He said there's a certain kind of a person that his yetzahar sometimes gets the better of him, and he says a dvar shekich hasashon. He says something that's not true. He that's something that happens to people, that because of a certain desire to make an impression, or they're afraid, or whatever it is, a Yetzirah, sometimes a person will say it to Rav Sheka. Hagam says, Arach Ma'od, Rachman al-Islam. Bikol Makom, Yochel Od Loshuv, Yochel Gam L'Skabel Chavaseinu. There must be something, a word that's missing, even though this is not a good thing. And what it means, Hagam says, Arach Ma'od, there must be a word that's missing. But Bikol Makom, even though he's probably saying, even though it's a very bad thing, still the person can do tshuva. Doesn't have to stay away from joining a chavraya. Somebody that has an occasional slip, and he says a sheker. But there's another kind of a person. It's not that every now and then something that's not true or something. A sheker comes out of his mouth, but there's a person shu be'etzem ramai v'shakrin, that it's not that he's a be'etzem, an honest person, and sometimes is a sheker. You have a person who be'etzem, he's a ramai and a shakrin. That's his metzius, is that he's a ramai and a shakrin. But ramai is achayim, he tries to fool other people. But gam is atzman, and he's also trying to fool himself. He says that regarding such a type of a person, he said, I heard from my father-in-law, from Koshnitz, that a person who be'etzim is a shakran, it's very unlikely that such a person will ever do tshuva. Because even when he does tshuva, the tshuva itself is dishonest. The tshuva itself is dishonest. It's not really, the tshuva itself is filled with all kinds of self-deception. He's making believe that he's doing tshuva. See, a person who occasionally deceives other people, or he says things that are not true, so he can still do tshuva, because with himself, he knows that he's saying something that's not true. With himself, he realizes that he has a problem like this. But a person who's completely dishonest with himself, the etzim is a shakran, so then he thinks he's doing tshuva. But he's not. Shagam Shivosa B'Shekehi. Says in the Pasuk, Shivtecha B'Seich Mirma. There's a person who dwells in deception. Shivtecha B'Seich Mirma. His whole Messias, his whole life, is fooling others and fooling himself and creating a certain make-believe image of himself. Now, how are the people supposed to know? You know, who is Teicha Kevaro? You know, who is? We don't have any of the, we don't have the kind of guards that they had in those days of Rabbi Gamliel. You know, who will decide? How do you get? Who interviews you to get into the chabur? And such a person, if he does a good enough job of tricking people and deceiving people, but supposedly with many of these people after a while, you begin to realize, you know, what he is and what he's up to. Even though he himself never realizes. And he himself might argue and scream, you know, when he's being asked not to return, that you don't realize I should be the Rosh Chabura and so on and so forth. But he himself won't realize. But Mstama, the rest of the Olam will get the picture. So his tshuva is not a tshuva. He's always fooling himself. He could look at himself and think that he became a big tzaddik in an hour, in a short time. He looks at himself as a big, as a tzaddik, that he did all kinds of gewaltige things, and he's made all kinds of tremendous changes in his life, and he's holding by a certain place. And he wasn't part of anything, he didn't do anything. It's all sheker and demyanis, and he lives in such a way. Shaku is a ramai, shaku bishkarv. Such a person can't be allowed in it, and if he somehow manages to sneak in past the guards, so then once it's discovered, it doesn't take so long. These people are always making excuses. After a short time, when they're in the beginning, they want very much because of the covet and because of the show, they want to be very much a part of something, and they want to show the entire town. Everybody should see that they're part of something very, very chashuv. But then they can't sustain that because the Bamis, they don't really want to be a part of that. So they can't sustain being part of something like that. So they eventually start to make excuses, and my toe hurts, my throat hurts, my wife's expecting. It's 9 months, you can't come to shul because your wife's expecting. She feels better if I'm here, and she gets nervous if I'm not home. And it starts to fall apart within a relatively short time when you're dealing with the shotgun, because they wanted to make an impression and they want to show themselves a certain way, but they can't possibly live that way. They can't live with the intensity of any kind of a real kviyas in Kedusha. They can't live Kedusha. They can only act in the way of Kedusha for some time. Because by acting in the way of Kedusha, by the act of Kedusha, they can get a certain satisfaction in Kavod. But to sustain Kedusha over a long course of time and to live according to the rules and regulations and the lifestyle of the Chavaya that the Rebbe lays out here, that's not something that the Ramai and the Shakran can keep up for too long. It doesn't go for too long. So even though he might be able to get himself in, and he might be able to be there for a short time, but it's not going to take long till the rest of the chevek catches on that he's a person that doesn't belong there. Kol chaver yabid al atzmo lo ka'al ish namuch ish bahami. Each member, each chaver, should not look at himself as an ish namuch, as a low person, or an ish bahami. I mean, no Jew should look at himself that way. But particularly, it's emphasizing for those who come, not to look at himself as an animalistic person, an ish bahami, shiroi loilasis as kolamasim, olisnaig b'cholis nagus afnemichias, a person who looks at himself in a low way. He sees himself as someone that at any moment could act, it could do things, could do any kind of mice, and could behave in a way that's very, very b'cholos nagus afnemichi is. He could at any moment do something which is not right. Nemichi is such a lower thing. Rak my shomus chazal loylan yamid adam atzma kilo kader shar besach neyav. A person should always measure himself and see himself as if there is a holy one inside of him. He should always feel the presence of the Shechina and the Neshama, and Ish Meroimam, who a person who is a Meroimam is a person that's a higher person, an exalted person. And those things that other people might see as being okay and acceptable, this chaver in the chevraya stays away from that. Kol machshava dibur meisali is b'inin im toivim heim belvad kiyochel yeshe toivim heim liyish acher v'loy loy. And when it comes to every machshava, every thought, every dibur, every word, every meisah that he does or that he thinks, he shouldn't just be mizbainin, and he shouldn't just try to decide whether it's good, whether it's acceptable. Because there are certain things that they're okay for some people, but it might not be okay for him. Might not be good for him. A person should always try to be mizbainin, whether or not this is good for him and where he is in life and who he wants to be in life. Not whether or not something be'etzim, is it according to halacha, is it something which is acceptable according to halacha, but a person should think on himself. It could be that for another person, that's okay for another person, but that doesn't mean that it's good for him. So just because something might be mutter in halacha, or something might be acceptable, but a person has to, he's saying that the person who wants to be a chav in this chabur of kedusha, so he has to have higher ideals, and he has to live with those ideals, and therefore he doesn't just ask himself, is this mutter, is it aser? That would be for somebody else, but for himself, whether or not it's something which passes for him, is it becoming for him? Does this pass? So these are things that are not necessarily found in a sefer. So found in a sefer, you know, if somebody asks you a shayla, you know, let's say one of the people from the Chavaya asks you a shayla, is there anything, is it usher for, I'm just giving an example of something where, is it also, you know, in the summer for a man to walk, you know, in the street in a pair of shorts? So what are you going to find in Hilchas Sneas? There's something about a man covering his knees. I mean, it could be that some new countries will come out on that subject, you know. Countries being in, you know, Kisu Haberkayim La'anoshim. Could be, you know, there's no shortage of crazy people. But you're not going to find in a sefer like this, an issur for a man to have his knees uncovered, you know, to say that it's usur for him to wear a t-shirt to go around with it. It doesn't say anywhere it's usur, it's not issur in such a thing, and yet any one of us would be very surprised if you would see, you know, like if you'd see Rabbi Avadia Yosef walking around in a pair of shorts, if you'd see a Talmud Chacham walking around in a t-shirt, and you would feel that it doesn't pass, it doesn't become him. And a person has to think on himself, who he is and where he is, and that maybe to wear a pair of shorts and a t-shirt when he's in camp, or when he's playing ball, you know, and he's playing with a couple of guys ball. So then that is becoming, but it's not something that at this age that he should necessarily be walking around in the street. It's not halacha. And for one person, you wouldn't consider it to be inappropriate. But for another person, it would be considered inappropriate. It's not a question of usa and mutter. It's not usa to wear a t-shirt. It's not usa to wear a t-shirt for men to do. That's not usa. But what these edel and nekudas, these more delicate points of how a person looks at himself. Do you look at yourself? What's what the Rebbe is saying? When Chazal tells there in the Gemara, Kilo Kadosh Shor B'Sech Meir, that you should feel that there's something very holy inside of you. And the Rebbe is talking about Ish Meroy Mamho, that all of the people who are Chaveirim, to be Anoshim Meroy Mamim, means to be uplifted in higher people. It's not the question of looking down on anybody, but how one looks at himself. The ikir, when it comes to these, all of these things, even when I talk with men, there are hanhagas of tznius by men too. And the men think that it's a lot of the in modern Orthodox circles, the men grew up thinking that there's only inyan of tznius for women, and even then it's barely. But as far as men are concerned, there are no hanhagas of tznius, and a person therefore could dress any way, it can be, you know, loud, and could be a guy could, even when he's playing ball, could act a certain way and talk a certain way, and you'll have that in yeshivish circles too, and it's not, the feeling was that there are no dinim, there are no, it's not, where does it say that I can't, you know, where does it say that I can't, like, let's say you're playing ball Where does it say that, like nowadays, you see that everybody's imitating the lowest element in society, kiddur? So you see that, like, even you'll see by yeshiva brachmas, it's like banging their chests like you know, like animals, that they saw the last 15, 20 years at the chayis, that they, when they play ball, they, or you see the gaiva, like even that when they play even football, that they have all kinds of rikudim. If somebody gets a touchdown, that they have all kinds of rikudim, and do all kinds of funny things that it's all the meaning of gaiva and so on. A person, so is it also for a Jew when he's playing basketball to pound his chest with somebody or to do all these other things? Is it also? It's not also to do, but it's also. It says someplace you can't do that. There's something in halacha that's wrong. And Ishmerim, there's a dehebene mensch, a higher person, a person that has all these inyanim have to do with a feeling of what the Gemara says of Kaddish Shari B'Soich Me'ev. Is there something holy that you're looking for? I mean, and even when it comes to the halachas, and it comes to women who are not dressing properly, and so I'm not talking about the ones that don't know. Although even the ones that didn't learn, you know, they weren't raised in those families, but they see that that choshev of women and that tznizdik a Jewish woman go a certain way. It has to do with a lot with a person when a person doesn't look at himself or herself as being an ish mirom, as being a higher and greater person. Otherwise, why somebody, a woman, and from now I'm talking about hilchos tznizdik, where there are halachas of the woman, why would a woman go in a way that's inappropriate and showing her body off in a way that, because it's not, she doesn't look at herself in a way of kiddush. She's not a bad person, chas v'shalom. She cares about Yiddishkeit, and she keeps Shabbos, and she davens, and she cares. But so why is she going in such a way, to dress in such a way that's completely unacceptable for a Jewish woman? The Torah says that there are many terutzim, but part of it is when a person doesn't look at himself as being a greater person, he doesn't see that there's any need of kedusha. So these are things that, when it comes to halacha and hilchosness, of course, when it comes to other things, they're just examples that I'm giving you about how a man dresses or how a man conducts himself and how he behaves. So these are the sensitivities that a person who's an ish miraimam, who's a higher and more elevated person, he naturally feels distant from these types of actions and these ways of behaving, even though it's not to say for someone else that you would say that he's doing that, it's not a favor, or there's something bad about the person, like what it's not. But it's not. That's what I remember. I once told you that I read years ago in one of Dr. Tversky's books, one of his earlier ones, that he wrote that he remembers that his father, the Dr. Tversky from Pittsburgh, I mean, now he's in Muncie, Avram Yeshua Hesh. So the psychiatrist. So Dr. Tversky wrote in one of his books how that he, in his house when he did something. When he did something that wasn't good, even if it was very, very bad, as a child, so he doesn't remember his father ever telling him that you're terrible or you're an animal or, like, you know, people say all kinds of things. His father would always say to him that it doesn't pass. It's not becoming for a person of your greatness. It doesn't, a person like you, it doesn't pass for you. It's not becoming for a person like you. It isn't to say you're chai, you're behemi, you're this and that. The person looks at himself as a chai and a behemus. He says, look, it's why, what do you mean? If he hears all the years growing up, he's a chai and a behema. I mean, these are the lashonis that when I was growing up in school.
That was
the, good lashonis. Yeah, I was on a good day, but I'm not exaggerating. I had a rebbein, they would call us shagets and shkotsim and goy, and they would say things, lashonis. So then a person feels that, well, this is how Shkotsim and Goyim act, and this is how behemoths go, and this is what Chayis do. I mean, Adrav, it becomes, this is, I'm acting in a way that's completely becoming and acceptable for Chayin and Behemoth. This is what Chayis and Behemoths do. So he said that his father always said to him that, that, you know, you come from the Zaydis and you come from such people, and it doesn't pass for you to do such a thing. So he always felt that there was something special, there was something great, and there was an Indian of Kedusha that to live up to. So that's what he's saying to be an Ish Meraim. He says, you don't just look to see if it's something which is good or bad, black or white, right or wrong. It could be that it's right for another person. It could be that it's good for another person. That doesn't mean that it's something which is for you. That's what the Rebbe's saying. Could be good, it's good for another person. Someone is a yeshiva bacher, somebody is a yeshiva bacher. He's you know, I know that yeshiva bacher hate these kind of speeches, but the yeshiva bacher is representing the olam ha'Torah, he's representing the world of Torah and of learning, and so the way that he dresses and the way that he acts, it makes a roshim on people that don't know much about. That they don't know much about Yiddishkeit, or they don't know much about what it means to be a Ben Torah and Exeration. But the Rebbe is saying more than that, just within oneself. It's not a question of what other people think. For yourself, how you act and how you carry yourself, even in your own four walls, even if no one's watching. You have to see yourself as a person who's an Ish Meraim. A lot of the things that a person, you know, when it comes to even when you're crossing over that gray area of what. That maybe it's mutter, maybe, you know, like when you like that, how come there hasn't been yet a sefer written on Hilchus television? There's no that we haven't had yet either, a sefer Hilchus television. So who's going to write Hilchus television? Because any Yerei Shemayim knows that it's a tumah. So then you get somebody that starts to say, yeah, but there's certain this and there's certain that and these things, and my children, I want them to know about how bears hibernate, and it's very important because I don't know how he could be, you know, among human beings if he doesn't know how about bears, you know, or he has to be a civilized person to know, he has to see, you know, Sesame Street in order to be able to know that in the world there are, you know, cookie monsters and there are all kinds of things out there that this might be important for them to get a job and so on. We have to be in touch with the secular world and so on. All of these chesbonos. So how come nobody wrote? There haven't been any contracting yet on those television shows that are better than others and alumnus and different kinds of the terrors is that anybody that was touched by Yerei Shemayim wouldn't go near a television, wouldn't keep it in his house, wouldn't touch it. So all of the svaris of all of these different pilpulim and svaris, you know, about being a normal civilized person and so on, it's a different kind of a sensitivity. When a person looks at himself to say that it's also, that's why if you mention to somebody that, you know, you don't think that it's right to have television, so where does it say it's also? That's why I mentioned to you a short time, last week or 2 weeks ago, when the Chavetz Chaim, the Chavetz Chaim had a certain day that he expressed a certain view, and that there were other people that they asked him, what's the makor, like, where does it say that, what Chavetz Chaim said, and Chavetz Chaim opened up his coat and he pulled over his talis cotton and he opened up his shirt and he said, over here. That's what he did. Not everything has to be written in a sefer, and not everything it's under the talis cotton that a Jew keeps certain things. When a person looks at himself as being kadosh shori b'sarich meir, that there's something holy inside of him, that he's not a regular person. So something might be mutter. You want to say that it's mutter to have this, to watch that, because in this particular show there is nothing that's wrong. Like all of these pilpulim are all havel havolim for a person who looks at himself as an ish meraim, as a higher person. What?
The children in general have a very difficult time, especially with dress on dress on Shabbos. It's such a difficult thing because the rabbin, especially in our community like this, is
when the weather gets warm and stuff like that.
Even not. I mean.
In the winter also, what's the?
Yeah, I mean it's.
I mean, in the house, the kids want to change into.
They want to change, and like that's how everybody else, you know, that's how everybody else goes, and they want to fit in.
Yeah.
They just want to fit in.
It's a very hard thing.
And there's no makor, right? Is that like exactly what we're saying?
Well, big day Shabbos. That's big day Shabbos. That there you have, there we do have kuntresim and svarim, and there we have plenty of material in black and white. But that's not going to impress the child either.
Right? Because they say, "Am I doing an avera?" That's the question.
Is it an avera for me to wear some sweatpants? Is it an avera?
Yeah. And then. I've gone to places and they walk into shul like that. Like they
see the children.
Yeah. By mincha.
I was away for Shabbos someplace once to speak. Someplace, not at all in New York, in a different community. Very, very nice people. Mincha Shabbos, people came in shorts. They came in shorts and sandals. Mincha Shabbos, adults. Shorts came. And t-shirts, people came in t-shirts. Shabbos Mincha. So, what should the children mean? These sensitivities, I believe that if the parents conduct themselves as much as possible in the right way, that over time it has an effect on the children. It's true though, the community and the friends is a big union, but if the parents. That's why. Even though somebody, let's say, might not wear such, maybe have. I'll give you an example, which I recommend to people. I'm not talking about staring any shalom bayis, God forbid, for such a thing. But I'm saying that it's kedai for a man to wear a Shabbos degilavush at the Shabbos table. I'm not saying even not to go out in the street with a bekish, a tish chalatl in the street. It's not for him to go with a bekish in the street or to wear that kind of clothing. But to wear the Shabbos table, it makes a reishim on the children to see that the father has a thing that he wears only on Shabbos. It makes a big reishim on the child. That the child sees that Shabbos, the malbushim of Shabbos, and Shabbos is very special and so on. But if the house is, if the mother and the father walk around on Shabbos, without the child seeing that it's very special, and the mother never gets dressed, and the father goes like a shlump on Shabbos also. So I think that makes the biggest relation. But you're right, though. I can't say that if people living in a place where it seems that. So then they start to think that their parents are crazy, you know, their parents are very extreme, and how come, you know, so comfortable and good by this and by that. It's very, very hard. There's no answer for that. Just you have to try as much as possible to build up that feeling of Kedusha, of Kedusha Shabbos, and Big Day Shabbos. And they should see that Shabbos is something which is special. But you understand that if a kid sees that his father goes to shul, you know, half hour late, And he's talking, and then he sees that Shabbos is, and then at the table, it's, you know, there's Shabbos sticking. So it becomes very, very hard to change those habits. It becomes hard.
Excuse me, Rebbe. Ball playing on Shabbos, Usher. It's a very common thing in the neighborhood. I'm always confused about that.
I'll talk about it privately.
Rabbi, just ask about the Lushan that Rabbi Kolomis uses.
Yeah.
He quotes the Gemara, Sharui Batokmei Av.
That's the Gemara uses that.
Right. I would have thought he would say Batokmei Bo. Or maybe even Batokmei Klayot, because Klayot were the conscience.
Right.
Why does they choose?
Kishkis.
Right.
Why? Naiv means Kishkis.
I'm holy in my Kishkis.
Yeah. Yeah. The expression of me'ayim, of the kishkes, means when something, it's the way, even the way we use it in Yiddish, it's when it has seeped all the way in. Of course, the heart is still something which, sometimes yes, sometimes no, but the kishkes means it's, when it's besaych me'ayim, means it's where you come from, like the all the way inside. It's an expression. Yeah, it's an expression, the same way we use it like that. It's from all the way. But now the Rebbe warns, when he's saying these things about how one looks at himself, and that sometimes there are things that are okay for other people, and that you don't look down on other people, and it's okay, but it doesn't mean that it's okay for you. He says, the Rebbe said, I'm not saying, God forbid, that this is feeling of his roimamus of exaltedness, or being in some kind of an elite chavraya, that this should cause you, God forbid, to be mizgoyah, to look down on other people and to get carried away with yourself. Chas v'shalom. Tzaddikim carry themselves in a certain way, but they don't look down on other people. So to be an ish meroimah v'yizgar chas v'shalom, that you should become a person that's mizgoyah, that you become conceited. I'm not talking about changing your way of looking at people and being conceited, but to be an ish mishtakek al hakadosh yisrael, but a person who has a longing for Hashem's birth, that wants to get closer to Hashem, not because of how things look and how they appear, and to change your status in the eyes of other people, or to change your status in the eyes of the community, but to be be'etzem someone that's closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, it's not a way to look that when a person's, when the tachlis of this avodah is that a person should be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's never to look down at other people. Adarabah, you see all the milas in other people, to see all the good in other people. So this guy walks around in shorts, but look at he's such a good neshama, he's such a bal chesed, he has tivus with people. So in this Indian, that's not his strength in this Indian, whatever. But you see in him all the good midas, and he's an elch, a person in business. You know, to look at everybody with an ayin tayva is not to be mezgar on other people, to look down on other people, chas v'shalom. And even if the tzaddik is very outspoken, let's say, about a certain way of acting, a certain way of behaving, but it's never with that person, with that particular person. The Satmar of Chusi Gengel had unbelievably strong shittas, as everybody knows. But with every individual Jew, he was so understanding and compassionate. He never looked down. His shittas were very, very strong, but any person that was by him, he always was a Ramat Chus, and any person, he was always, even on his biggest enemies, on his biggest sinim, he was always with an eye in taiva. He was always with an eye in taiva, with a good eye in how to see other people. But you could say that this shita is a shita that's a trefa shita. So even, when I say things about, as much as I hate to use any labels, it just saves time in many ways. But it doesn't mean any prat when I say modern Orthodox. I'm not talking about any particular Jew who considers himself modern Orthodox, because that particular person has a million milas and all kinds of sitkas in him and her and things that he does. So when I say like that to dress a certain, I'm talking about there's a mahalach like that. I'm not talking about any person, God forbid, to say ki who's on this person, that's a modern Orthodox person, that this person is bad, God forbid something is bad, or there's a mahalach. That's not a mahalach of kedusha, of holiness, but not ever to say in a person. And we have to be very careful with these things. Never to say on a person that it's that person. You don't know that person. If you know that person, you'd see that even though that person might go in a certain appearance of this type or that type, but you don't know the person. And that to be one of schools and to see all kinds of milas in that person. But as a shita, one is not only allowed, but one has to know this. It's a shita psula, that there's something that's puzzle in how there are things that can't be. It's not the way that we receive from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not the way that it came down to us from the tzaddikim. And afal pichen, and any particular Jew, never ever to look down to think badly of a Jew, chas v'shalom. It's also a hard thing to balance, but one has to work on that. Because sometimes if you're very stark, you're very strong against a certain shita or against a certain mahalach, then you could begin to be negative about individual members who are part of that world, and that's not the Ratzon Hashem that you should look down on other, at other people. Chalim, you should see the milus in another Jew, not the chesroinus. But you should know that way of living is not acceptable. But not to see the person and to touch up the person that he's altogether a person that's not, that's possible, it's chayif, God forbidden. Again, I'm talking about Jews who are shomer Torah mitzvahs. I'm not talking about some mechala Shabbos, Nochon, the Vesem Shabbos. Even there, to bismaneinu, to see that a person is, that they don't know, they never learned Torah mitzvahs. They don't know what they're doing, and they're not bad bets, and so on. To try to see the milus in people, not the chesroinus. The hikdish atzmo l'taharosei l'kedushas avados yisboch. The ikkar is that the person should, that he says that any, you want to be a chaver in the chabura, in the chavraya, that you should be a person that's makdish yourself. You should see yourself as somebody that is separated. Again, not that you don't love other people, and you don't get along with other people, you're not part of the community. Because he said, even what we learned last week, that you could still participate and be part of things in the kehillah. But you have to feel, as the Rebbe is going to go on to say, that there's something unbelievably different about what you've entered into, a different world. A world that's very, very, very exalted and special. And that you makdish yourself to Tahara and to Kedusha and Avodas Hashem. Pech Kuf Mem Tes. That's how Yabid Al Atzma. That's how you look at yourself. You look at yourself as somebody that's hektish. Somebody that's hektish. You could have a whole room full of, you could have a whole barn full of cows. But if one of the cows is hektish, that's chashuv. He might look like the other cows, he might smell like the other cows, but he's hektish, something special. It's designated for kedusha. And once it's already hektish, without going into all the dinim, you all know that if something's already hektish, it has to be treated differently. It has to be treated differently. An animal doesn't have to see itself as hektish. But a person who's makdish himself to Avodas Hashem, is makdish himself to Avodas Hashem. That hakadosha is something that changes the way that a person goes. Even things that are mutter, it's chamutter and also it's. See, this is the nekuda, coming back to what Dov was saying before with Shabbos with the children. This point of how to convey this to the children, that there's something. That there's an Indian of Kadosh, Sarech Meyav, and to be Mukdash, you know, this is a very, very, very hard thing to convey. When the children ask, is it Mut, is it Asa? And they put you in the corner. Is this an Aveir? Where does it say it's an Aveir? How to develop, it's very hard, to develop a feeling in a child that you're a piece of Hektish. How do you develop that in a child, a sensitivity of being hektish? This is a very big challenge that we have now. How to give that feeling of being hektish? How to look at oneself? That's a very hard thing. It's a very hard thing. A lot of it had to do, I remember feeling growing up, a lot of it had to do, besides with the parents, a lot of it had to do with the feeling of who are the, you know, who our rebbeim were, and who our role models were. We saw a certain, you know, even though in yeshiva there was a growing up, there were some of these people that were just very, very harsh and very difficult and so on. And other rabbis, we didn't necessarily look up to them. But there were in the yeshivas also, in the chinuch, I'm just saying the way that I grew up, I can't speak about others, but when I talk to friends of mine, other people, I remember there was a certain rabbi that I had in ninth grade, when I was in Queens, in the yeshiva. It was a Stalin chassid. He was an exalted person. He was just an exalted person. The way that he spoke and the way that he carried himself made such a rosh on myself and a lot of the guys. It made a big rosh. See, even nowadays, in the yeshivas, they're stuck in a certain difficult situation. You know, like, on the one hand, you want to get a Rebbe that can communicate with the guys. So I'll hear parents, especially from this community, from the neighborhood, from modern Orthodox circles, again, forgive me, I don't mean it on a person, but I mean on that mahalach, I've had parents say, "Yeah, this Rebbe is so cool. My Joey loves him. He's so cool." You know, I understand what they're trying to say. What they're trying to say is that he like works with the kids, and he's like, you know, the kids, you know, he can relate to them, and that's a very, very important thing that our generation is working on, that the Rebbe should have a connection to the kid, because a lot of the Rebbeim that I had growing up, they were from outer space. They were from outer space. And every single thing, how they spoke and how they dressed. You know, like I grew up with a Rebbeim that had their belt up over here. And there was only 3 inches between the necktie and the belt. You know what I'm talking about? There was a certain... And they didn't know like what it all were, what we were. And didn't care either to figure out who we were. They didn't care to figure out who we were. It was a different generation, it was a different world. And they didn't care. They just said what they said. And if you were one of the four or five... like that, you know, that also like your belt up high. So then you were, you know, it worked. And for the others, no, the others. So now there's a new mahalach, which is a healthy, which in the idea, the musig is a healthy musig. The musig of a rabbi that understands the kid, has a shaykhus to the kid. But oy vavoy, when the rabbi crosses over and becomes a kid, so the Rebbe is so cool, and the Rebbe is this, and the Rebbe acts and talks a certain way, and he's with the guys, and you have to be very, very careful. When you cross over, a person wants to be a Rebbe, also that there's a certain way of appearing. So you know, you could schmooze with the guys and talk to them about what they do, and talk to them about, but kids pick up when you're really interested in those things. It's not just because you're relating to them; they could pick up on that stuff pretty quickly. And then it's not just a matter of Rebbe being cool, Rebbe being like one of the guys. It takes away from the kids one of the most important things that a Jewish child should have, which is a musak of kedusha in a Rebbe. And it's a very, very, very important thing that in every yeshiva that the boys should have rebbeim that they look up to as being great people, not just being great guys. It's the difference between being a great person and a great guy. You know the differences. I don't have to explain it. The great guys are not necessarily great people, but to be a great person that the kids look up to. We had like that, the principal when I was growing up, the Rosh Hashiva, and he died. He wasn't old. He was in his 40s. But we like I never could have imagined him like being playing ball with us or anything like that, and not because he was stuck up. And not because he was like, you know, like, ball playing is bad. He encouraged us to play. He was just like, he was just something else. And but we looked up to that. So what's happening is that there are these two extremes. On the one hand, you could have a Rebbe, you could have a rebellion that you're hiring that don't have a shaychus bechlal, that's out of the sphere of a child, beyond the sphere of a child. That's not good. On the other hand, you could have rebellion that they lower themselves completely in becoming one of the guys and becoming just a cool Rebbe. It's very, very hard to be able to have rebellion. And you know, you could even have a couple of those in yeshiva because there's certain kids that will only relate to those kind of rebellion. But it's very, very sad if in the yeshiva you don't have the Haibana mention, you don't have uplifted and exalted people. And we had that in the yeshiva. Always, there was always one or two people. When I was, I mentioned to you, I remember in high school, there was a Lubavitcher, this Rabbi Lustig, a Lubavitcher Yid. He was unbelievable. He was like on fire with the Rebbeinu Shalom. And the kids would laugh at him. Because he did all kinds. He would jump on the table, like, you know, by an Erev Shabbos, he would jump on the table, and he was on fire. So the guys, like, we thought it was, you know, guys, I didn't even have him as a Rebbe. You know, I didn't have him as a Rebbe, but, like, we would look, like, into the doors, and, like, the guys, like, from the, everybody would look in, and we, like, you know, we left. We thought he was, but we remember him as somebody that, it made an impression on us. And when we talk about it years later, there was a person that we saw that wasn't a regular person. he wasn't regular. He was different, and he was there was something holy about him that we didn't know what that meant. We left, and we were convinced that the last thing in the world I'd ever want to be in my life was like this guy. But we were glad that he existed. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're happy that there is such a person in the world, and you're happy that he exists, but you can't see that it's you. But you carry it with you, and you don't know when it begins to click. But you carry it with you. The memories that we had. See, this is, you know, I know that I harp on this, but it's to have a hergish for this, and I think about this all the time. How the Yidden that we saw growing up, the Gedolim that we saw growing up from across the ocean. There are no words to describe a certain feeling that we had in their presence, even though you could never ever say that they're like, you could never say that like Rav Moshe Feinstein was one of the guys. He wasn't one of the guys, and nobody would have said that he was cool, you know, but we were so happy that he was in the world. You know what I'm saying? And you kept it on file. That there's a yid like that. And when you were in the presence of a yid like that, I remember that when I was in camp, I did very little with camp. I wasn't a camping person. Too many mosquitoes. But I was in this camp, and there was a Rebbe there with a belt like this, and a tie. You know, it was a black tie. You know what I'm talking about. And the pants, there was always a couple of tefachim between the bottom of the pants and the shoes. You know what I mean? There's a certain kind of a yid, always like unkempt, always like wild looking, but always with the biggest smile in the world. So they gave him like they gave him to be also it was a, they gave him to be the lifeguard too, because that was like you know, the camps, they had they saved money, you know that. So I just, the memories that he would come with it. He was always like talking to himself and learning, and we laughed at him. He was funny, he was different, but he loved the kids. He was so happy always. He used to take a guy and sing, and he was a gewaltig guy. So he was walking around in his suit with a tie by the pool. He would walk around like this, back and forth, like talking, like, you know, this and that. And every once in a while he would wave, Shmuley, Shmuley, you know, like this. And then, so this is like, you know, we're there, and he's the lifeguard. So you know, you get a little bit nervous, like, you know, if something happens. Like, but so the first time I'm thinking, like, what kind of thing is this? Well, what's this, like a lifeguard, you know, the Rebbe became a lifeguard. But then, I'm telling you this, after around 10 minutes, he's walking like thinking and waving to guys, and he takes off his shoes, and with the suit jacket and the tie, he goes into the pool. He went right into the water. He goes into the water, he starts like, throwing guys up and playing with the kids. And then he goes in for like 10 minutes, and he's just going around with the guys. And then he's just, and then he walks out, and he goes back, he just drives off from the side. And he went right back after sleeping your baby. Just puts his shoes on, and he went right back, and that was it. Everything was pressed. So I remember, like, I remember, you know, the guy says, this is crazy, kind of crazy. And that was from my life, since it's a crazy thing. It goes like that, and, you know. But it's on file. I can't describe, you know, what it meant. He kept a certain kind of a dignity about himself, and it's hard to. Is it normal? Is it not normal? Where is it? Also, is it mutter? It's just the metzias of a certain kind of a Jew that like you can't make that up. You're either you are, you're not. It's not like this guy thought about this would be a cool thing to do and the guys would like it. That's what the Heintiger Rebbeim do. This is a cool thing. It's like with a cheshbon, because I want to be like, you know. It wasn't. He was like thinking over like something and learning, and then he just jumped into the pool. And he didn't look at it like this is something, you know, I'm doing this for this reason or that reason. He just wanted to, you know, take some of the little guys and throw them up and give them a ride or something. And then he came back out of the pool, and that was it. He just went on being a rabbi. He never stopped being a rabbi. He was a rabbi every minute. That was the feeling, that he was always a rabbi. But at the same time, you couldn't help but love him. You were like conquered by a certain gutzkeit and a certain, but there was a feeling of kedusha, that there was a feeling of of holiness about the person, that, that in the way that he acted, in the way that he conducted himself, that we thought was weird, but I felt that it was something that I was happy that I saw it, that it was something it made a difference in my head to see such a thing. So what?
They're trying for rabbinim nowadays, among the Orthodox schools, to play ball with the guys and to do those things. But all the while you're playing basketball, you're playing football, whatever it's going to be, especially on like a weekend retreat or something like that, that you got to take time while you're playing ball to try to be the example of how to play ball like a Ben Tzara.
I think that the rabbinim, to a large extent nowadays, have to play ball, not just that they're allowed to, but they have to play ball. I think that they have to, but I am a little bit worried. In my mind, there's still a difference between, let's say, I know this must sound silly because there's no kuntras in this any neither, but there's a difference, let's say, between playing basketball and baseball. What do I mean? Basketball is a contact sport, and there's a certain way that you play basketball. It's not the same thing as playing baseball, as playing softball. So am I saying that a Rebbe shouldn't play basketball? He has to be particularly careful. In other words, what's happening when you're playing basketball is that there's banging and there's shoving and there's jockeying for position under the hoop and so on. It's a different kind of an interaction that's taking place, and it's not always easy to maintain a certain kind of a dignity. But it's hard to say. Certain types of kids, they need that, and the Rebbe should play with them. But how the Rebbe conducts himself, and I can't explain in words, but how the Rebbe acts even when he's playing, and not to start getting, the Rebbe can't get into it, you understand? The kids should never see that the Rebbe's into it. I'm not saying the Rebbe says, all right, fellas, taking a 15-second halacha break. And he takes out his Mishnah Berurah and he reads the Mishnah Berurah. I mean, that's also something that I would not be surprised to find in one of the modern Orthodox setups, you know. It's, in other words, that, you know, to take out a Mishnah Berurah in the middle, but now I'm not talking about that kind of, I'm talking about that to play with the boys, but to always be apart from the boys. To be with them, but to always be different. And that they should feel that. Not every Rebbe can do that. Not every Rebbe can do that. And that's why that's why it's something where there's a sensitivity. You can't give like a sensitivity training, you know, class seminar on having a person like this. I believe that the kids are desperately, desperately longing for people to look up to, for heroes. And I think they have enough heroes with baseballs and with basketballs. But they need to have a Rebbe as a hero. And a heroic Rebbe, that might consist of someone that can throw a ball around, you know? That might consist of that. But not becoming one of the guys. Not becoming one of the guys. There was a Rebbe when I was growing up in yeshiva. He's not alive anymore. So he didn't play with the guys. He just went to every like 2 or 3 weeks, he would go half court and he would say, give him the ball. And he would like hit like 8 out of 10 shots. He was an older guy. And he had a long beard and he was pudgy guy. And he just went like, you know, old, he didn't go like, he went like this, he went like, and then he walked away and we all went. You know, all right, not everybody can do that. That's, you know, I don't know when he learned that, like, you know, in Puppa and Salem, I don't know where he got that. No, but, you know, but he could do it. It was unbelievable. And the guys were like, wow, that was, you know, that was, and they would just like walk off into the sunset. But he had us, you know, he was kind to us completely. He didn't get his shorts on and get into the, he just, you know, took a little bit like that, and then that was it. And otherwise he didn't do anything. You know, he didn't play. He would sit, you know, sit on the side and just walk around with a safer. But it was something. You know, it was something. It's very hard to put exactly what and how to maintain that. But there has to be an awareness and sensitivity to. All right, there's a lot. These are important things. But we'll talk more about this.